Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we're dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today and understanding the truth of the Word of God and understanding the prophecies of the end time and how they are unfolding before our very eyes today. But most people don't even understand it. Most people do not even realize what's going on. And while there's a lot of financial turmoil, and that's desperate enough as it is, behind the scenes there is a working of ecumenism and bringing religions together that is astonishing. And yet, you hardly ever hear of it. Well, you're going to see one day they're going to spring it on the world, bang. Big time. Everyone in all churches are being set up for this, except those who are truly in the church of God. And the ones who have the Spirit of God are the ones who are in the church of God, because the church of God is not a building. It is the collection or assembly of all of the ones who are called out of this world, who have been baptized, received the Holy Spirit after repenting of their sins, and are living a life in love and obedience to God. And Jesus said, those are the few. And Jesus said, the way to life is difficult. And Jesus said, only the ones who are zealous of the kingdom of God will enter in. Let's see what it's like with the pastors in this world. Let's see a prophecy of it here in Ezekiel 13, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy, and say to those who prophesy out of their own hearts, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Oh, they think they have something, but it's vanity, a lying divination. We're going to see what they're going to say about United Religions Initiative. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Let's bring all religions together. But first, let's see what God says here. Verse 6. They've seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord says, and the Lord has not sent them, but they hope to confirm their word. God is not going to confirm the word of false prophets. No way. A false prophet is anyone who speaks about God or a God in a way that's contrary to the word of God. Verse 7. Did you not see a vain vision and speak a lying divination when you say, the Lord says, although I have not spoken? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, behold, I am against you, says the Lord. But people will be for it, because we need to be broad-minded. Wouldn't want to be intolerant. Oh, that would be bad. Well, have you ever heard of right and wrong? You ever heard of good and evil? Let's go on. Verse 9, and my hand shall be against the prophets who see vanity and divine a lie. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, nor shall they be written in the writings of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord God. Now you see, God doesn't mince any words. God is not here to please people. It's the other way around. If you want to be pleased with God, you come to God with a broken spirit and a contrite heart and repentant, trembling at his word, willing to keep his commandments, willing to love him with all your heart, mind, and soul and being above everything else. If you want to come to Jesus Christ who died for your sins, then you better pay attention to how he lived, because you need to walk in the ways that Jesus walked, not in some other religion. We're going to see here in just a minute. I'm going to read you some of the things concerning the United Religious Initiative. Now, verse 10. And because even they have seduced my people, that means deceived. And remember, I ask you the question, have you been deceived? Do you know you've been deceived? Now, if you don't know you've been deceived, and you haven't proved it by the Bible, then how can you know? See? Seduce my people, saying, peace, when there was no peace, and when anyone builds a weak wall, they cover it with whitewash. God says it's going to come down. Let's look at the wall they're building now for a coming one world religion. Have you ever heard of the Council for a Parliament of the World's Religions? That actually goes back to 1893. Notice their purpose, their mission, their vision. Our mission, the Council for a Parliament of World Religions, was created to cultivate harmony among the world's religions and spiritual communities and foster their engagement with the world and its guiding institutions in order to achieve a just, peaceful, and sustainable world. All of that sounds good. But Jesus says, come out of her, my people. Jesus says his true followers are not of this world. Jesus says we are to look for the kingdom that he is going to bring at his second coming. So here's their vision, just exactly like we saw in Ezekiel 13. The vision of the Council for a Parliament of World Religions is of a just and peaceful and sustainable world in which, now notice, here are their goals. Religious and spiritual communities live in harmony and contribute to a better world from their riches of wisdom and compassion. Religious and cultural fears and hatreds are replaced with understanding and respect. People everywhere come to know and care for their neighbors. The richness of human and religious diversity is woven into a fabric of communal, civil, societal, and global life. The world's most powerful and influential institutions move beyond narrow self-interest to realize common good. The earth and all life are cherished, protected, healed, and restored. All people commit to living out their highest values and aspirations. Not one word about the true God. Who do you think is behind this? Satan the devil. But it sounds good because he appears as an angel of light, and his ministers appear as ministers of righteousness. See, they're not trying to bring all religions to believe the same thing. Here is their goal. The Council for a Parliament of World's Religions seeks to promote interreligious harmony rather than unity. The problem with seeking unity among religions is the risk of the loss of the unique and precious character of each individual religious and spiritual tradition. This understanding is key to our framework. Isn't that something? Well, you go online and look up a Parliament of World Religion, and there are all kinds of things that you're going to learn about it, and you're going to see that this is a vast movement with hundreds of thousands of people involved and thousands of religious organizations contributing to it. Here's another one. URI, United Religions Initiative, developing modern spiritual practices. Oh, yes, if it's modern, it's good. Oh, let's get rid of the old. Just like Protestantism. Well, we'll do away with the Old Testament. We have the New Testament. But then we'll do away with a lot of that because we don't agree with it either. A lot of lying, carnal, satanic belief in that, okay? Now, someone's going to say, Fred Kolder, you're sure hard on them. Listen. You think I'm hard on them. What do you think Christ is going to do when he returns? I'll give you one clue. Where is the false prophet and the beast going to be cast when Jesus Christ returns? Is he going to say, oh, well, you were just misunderstanding. All is forgiven and love is good. No. is going to send an angel to take them and cast them into a lake of fire. And that's a lot harder on them than me. But if I can preach the truth, which I will, and show you what is happening in the world, which you need to know, then don't get mad at me. Don't do the modern practice of killing the messenger. Isn't that what they did to Jesus? Notice how they put this. And this comes from the world scriptures. We're going to read part of the world scriptures, at least some of the topics that they have. I'm not going to dignify what they believe in some of the words of God that they have stolen, but we're going to read some of the things that they cover. See, the whole world is already being prepared for this. And the way that Protestantism and Catholicism are being dumbed down, and they take their mind off of Christ and off of God the Father and on the community works that they are doing, they are being sucked in to the coming one world religion, unity through diversity and harmony. There will be established on earth a new consciousness and power which will shape a race of wise spiritual beings and take up in itself all the earth nature that is ready for this new transformation. New Age religion. Let me ask you a question. How much has your church already embraced Eastern religions and New Age religions? You ever heard of things such as Christian yoga? What is yoga? Well, they may have some health benefits to some of the exercises, but yoga is so you can empty your mind of thought and be possessed by a demon. That's the end result of it. Now, here's what else they say. There are many kinds of spiritual practice. Most of them are derived from one of the major religions. Spiritual practices of this kind tend to be based on teachings from one of the earlier civilizations. Some of these practices are very profound and deserving of our attention. On the other hand, we live in the beginning of a global age, one in which teaching from different civilizations of the past and, at the same time, needing to be relevant to this age. Each new civilization will be a combination of older teachings and teachings born of the age now coming into being. It is in the integration of the past, present, and future that a civilization gains its completeness. And this is a new synthesis. Remember what we said a couple of segments back about theses, antitheses, synthesis? Yes, they're working for that. We need a global ethic, is what they say. What about all the Word of God? Is that not the best global ethic? Well, will they believe it? Now, I want to show you this wonderful picture here of Actions for Interfaith Solidarity. Then I want to read to you how it turned out. From a woman who went to Jordan and attended one of these interfaith services with the Muslim Brotherhood. I found myself in a meeting made by the Muslim Brotherhood against Israel. I guess the green flag is from the Brotherhood. I noticed when I got there, they started saying something and people would reply, Allah Akbar, Allah is the greatest. I felt like as if I was in a Hitler meeting following the imams or the priests. They would speak and some just started yelling. It was about Palestinians taking back their land and those signs you see there with a hand making a fist. All these signs tell the youth to fight to get Israel back to war and fight. And I left after 20 minutes. I could not bear it. I started feeling tense, and I could feel the hate toward Israel. The Brotherhood makes festivals to brainwash people to fight and not forget their land. The enemy wants to deceive people and put them at ease. So when it comes time to lop off their heads, they will have the power to do it. Now let's talk about here, United Religions International, URI. Since the signing of our charter in 2000, we have touched the lives of millions of people of different faiths around the world through a network of 514 interfaith cooperation circles, whose members number 500,000. Community groups, that's what they have. Let's come to Isaiah 25. Let's see a prophecy of how Satan is deceiving this whole world. We know in Revelation 12:9, and we quoted that many times, that he's deceiving the whole world. And with deception comes oppression. You feel oppressed? You feel troubled? That's not from God. That's from Satan the devil. Notice what Christ is going to do when he returns, because this deception is just like a big woven blanket around the world. Verse 7, he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering which covers all people. They're blinded. And the veil that is woven over all nations. And that's what's happening right now. Now, let me read you some of the things out of the world scripture. Now, notice, this has got all kinds of things in here, and it's pretty close to 1,000 pages long, nearly 1,000 pages. And it's got quotes from all the religious beliefs in the world. So let me read you some of the table of contents. Part 1, ultimate reality. That sounds like it's really good. Then they have these things that go along with it. Traces of God's existence, the one, formless, emptiness, mystery, transcendent, all-pervasive reality, sovereign and omnipotent, omniscient, inanimate, near at hand, eternal in a world of transience, the Creator, goodness and love, divine Father and Mother. Oh, isn't that nice? Yes. Didn't we study what happened last time when Israel went against the word of God and went after other gods like this? Let's see what they say about ultimate reality. Ultimate reality is a mystery. Now notice the title is Formless Emptiness Mystery. See, Satan wants you to empty your mind so he can fill it with his nonsense. Satan wants you to empty your mind so you can become possessed. Ultimate reality is a mystery, not a thing that can be defined by form or a concept of being. Wrong. In a monotheistic religions, God is beyond any human concept, hidden and inscrutable. Not true. Jesus came to reveal the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. God wants you with his Spirit to have a relationship with him in Jesus Christ. Now, we'll tell you what God thinks about this in just a little bit. The prohibition of images is a statement about the transcendence of God, for to make an idol to represent God is to reduce the infinite to the finite. Buddhism, Hinduism, Jainism, Taoism affirm the ineffability of the ultimate reality in their assertions that no words or intellectualism can properly convey its nature. It's beyond all duality, all attempts to think of it as a thing separate from other things. Its nature is emptiness. Emptiness in Eastern religion should never be misunderstood as a cognitive statement about reality. Yet we're to embrace it. Yet we are to understand it. No, ultimate reality is the true God. Now let me read you some of the other things that they have. Tolerance and respect for other believers. Divine law, truth, and cosmic principle. Eternal truth, moral law, the Decalogue, the golden rule, polarity, relationship, and interdependence, cosmic justice. It's not nice. We'll just have one big supermarket. All right, let's see what God says about these things. Let's come to Isaiah 43. What does God think about those people who want to bring in God's way and marry it to, in a harmonious setting, other religions of this world? Isaiah 43 and verse 22. Yet you have not called upon me, O Jacob, much less have you troubled yourself about me, O Israel. No, they want to know about the other religions, not the true God. Verse 24. But you have made me to serve with your sins, and you have wearied me with your iniquities. Now let's see what God says about combining these religions, accepting them, and accepting the ultimate reality of God, the way that men define it rather than the Word of God. God says here in Isaiah 42 and verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to graven images. And that's exactly what they want done with this. And what is the ultimate that the false prophet is going to have people do? Make an image unto the beast that had the wound and the death but was healed. So the ultimate reality of the coming one world religion is idolatry. Other gods, Satan the devil, demons, combining it all together. And try and make this an amalgamation where people will believe that it's okay to accept all of these abominations? Oh, that's great folly. But that's what's coming. He also says in Isaiah 48, he says the same thing. I will not give my glory to another. No way. Isn't going to happen. God is not going to do that. See, we're talking about eternal life and salvation and the purpose of life. And that's found in the Bible. And the purpose of life is defined according to the truth and the righteousness that you find here. And a purpose, ultimate purpose is, and you can go download this right on site, what do you mean born again? And what is meant to be born of God? And that is through the power of the resurrection that you become a spirit being and enter into the eternal family of God. That's the purpose of God. Not religions all getting along with one another. And my, what a wonderful thing that we have. You want God to love you? You love God. You want God to bless you? You obey God. You want to understand why you're here and where you're going? Then you need to study the Word of God. And you need to obey God and keep His commandments like Jesus said. Now, there's a whole lot more to it. We'll do a few more segments on the coming one world religion. And so thank you for inviting me into your home. And be sure and go to our other website, cbcg.org, and download the important sermons that I have done recently. And listen to them, and study them, and take notes on them, and prove them in your Bible. Now also, go to our home page, and you will find a special on how to obtain the Holy Bible in its original order, and receive the best English translation possible to date. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.